Real Estate Radio. This is Byron Lazine, One and Company, William Ravis Real Estate, Pat Kenny, Barnum Plans, joining me as always. And you are listening to 94.9 News Now, Stimulating Talk. We've got a action-packed show. We have a guest upcoming in segment two. We've got a lot of hypocrisy flying around over the past week, Pat. And I sent you some of this crap that I saw come along my notifications.
I was excited you were about to say hypocrisy, or like we had some other segment I wasn't ready for.
Hip hop hooray. No.
Like Rob Schneider? Hip hop hooray? No.
No. Okay. No, I sent you our governor to the West over in New York. He did it. Did you catch any of that? Yeah, I know I sent it to you. The state of the state. State of the state address. Cuomo says we must get these lockdowns lifted on our restaurants. Pat and I, obviously, if you follow the show, we don't get into the political side, but we're definitely talking about what impacts our local economy, our small local businesses. We're going to give away some Martin's money later in the show to help support our local restaurants here. But what's happening in the Northeast is a lot of these restaurants have been shut down with no real science behind it. We've referenced the study actually in New York that said only 1.43% of the cases, the COVID-19 cases traced back, were due to restaurants. Yet restaurants, bars have taken the hit. It really seems like nationally too. The only person doing anything about this is Dave Portnoy, Barstool Sports. We'll have to get the update there, Pat. What's the running total? I know Elon is now in. Elon Musk has donated. The great Elon. Who else? We had the Patriots. We had the Utah Jazz jump in. A number of people now are jumping in. Big name.
You know, if Utah Jazz can support, everybody should be able to support at this point. I mean,
if the Jazz are supporting this thing.
The Jazz were relevant up until 1996. And then since then, it's just been a downward spiral. So like, no, it's awesome. I think they're I just pulled it up real quick because those are the things that I do. And the things that I can't do are share because Jill has me disabled from screen sharing, which is cool. It's not a big deal. I've never used Zoom before. $26.5 million have been raised.
Share away.
By Barstool.
Get that up on the screen share. If you want to go see this and you're able to, you're not driving, go over to Facebook.com/ One and Company Real Estate. We always stream the show live on that page. Go ahead, Pat.
26.5 million, 184,000 plus people, and 133 local businesses are rocking. The first time we talked about this 3 weeks ago, they had raised $6 million and had supported, I think, 17 restaurants or 19, one of the two. Just unbelievable. I mean, like you said, the people that are getting involved, the kind of firepower behind this. I know he's done a lot recently. I've seen Portnoy on with Gary Vee a lot, like the last 3 or 4 days. I know he gave some money in. It's awesome. I mean, look at and I think the thing that's really cool is you know, seeing this, you know, if you follow the Barstool Fund online, you get to see all of the application videos and then the Portnoy call, right? So those are like really cool interactions to see. But the stuff that they're funding is not just restaurants, right? It's all local. It's a lot of small local businesses. You know, we have, I think I saw things like there's a pool hall here up here in Wallingford, Connecticut. You know, there's a bunch of restaurants. I think I saw there was like a barber shop and a laundromat. So it's really cool. They're definitely doing a lot of stuff. I think to support, you know, we're trying to do our part, but we're certainly no Barstool Fund, I think.
No, I mean, again, nationally, I feel like these guys are the only ones actually doing something. A lot of, you know, national leaders certainly have not done much to help small and local businesses. We've had a number of people here in our community. You can go over to thegiftcardproject.com if you want to help locally, try to step up and help. But nationally, yeah, the Barstool Fund is doing some really big things, and you're seeing a lot of big donors. But Gov Cuomo, he said this past week, we simply cannot stay closed until the vaccine hits critical mass. The cost is too high. We must reopen the economy, but we must do it smartly and safely. You know, I've been on this show since March saying the cost of shutting down these small local businesses is too high. I personally have been consistent on that stance that our gov to the west of us is now taking. It's ironic. It's one of three things here, Pat. It's either, and he's not the only governor that has taken this stance. It's been many governors, including our own, kind of taking the lead from New York, which is why this is so relevant. It's either, you know, they're just not very smart people, which I think that'd be a high likelihood there. Number one, number two, right? They are very politically biased, some of these guys, and we have a new, I think we have a new president coming in. So maybe the timing is right to reopen. Or number three, they literally year of end numbers are in and are about to like go bankrupt. Some of these states that have shut down their local businesses, their restaurants, and things like that. So I don't know which one of the three it is, but it's very odd. You see the mayor of Chicago, Mayor Lori Lightfoot, saying the same exact thing a day after Cuomo did. So now all of a sudden we need to reopen. If you talk to restaurant owners, small business owners, we talked to the owners of these guys in Norwich a couple of weeks ago. That was a heartbreaking story, what they shared with us.
Oh my God.
Digging into their savings, potentially 1, 2, maybe 3 months away from having to shut their doors permanently. Over 600 restaurants in Connecticut have already shut their doors for good. They're saying at the end of this winter, over 1,000 restaurants, people that put their blood, sweat, tears, life savings into their businesses will have to shut down permanently. And it just drives me nuts how we're one person in many situations, one mayor, one governor has so much power and control to play with the emotions of these business owners like a light switch. But when they turn the light switch off, they don't have a solution for them to be able to feed their family, to be able to pay their employees. It's been a lot, unfortunately. And listen, I'm sitting here as a real estate agent, and I've been very lucky with being able to be an essential employee. Extremely lucky over the last year. But there has been a lot of picking and choosing, deciding who, when, how can operate with really nothing to back that up. The picking and choosing, the favorites of who can stay open and who can't is what drives me nuts, because my heart goes out to these entrepreneurs. My heart goes out to our local business leaders that are really taking it on the chin week in and week out. It's not just businesses though. We've got a guest coming up here in segment two who wants to talk to us about the local sports scene, local high school sports, as a matter of fact, that are being, there's this NFHS classification that talks about certain sports being able to stay operating and other ones not. Some more picking and choosing, just like we've seen with our restaurants. When we come back, we're going to be talking to the head coach of Guilford Lacrosse, Brian White, about just that, the NFHS classification rules, sports that have been shut down, and potentially lacrosse missing a second straight season. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.
You have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once. I am one of those melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone.
Real Estate Radio, Byron Lazine, One and Company, William Ravis Real Estate, Pat Kenny, Barnum Plans. We're joined here by Brian White. He is the head coach of the lacrosse program at Guilford High School here in Connecticut. Also coaches football, teacher at the school. Brian, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No, thanks for joining us. We've focused a lot of our energy and attention over the last year on this show, talking about the impact that the health crisis has had on small businesses, our local restaurants, our small shop entrepreneurs, how there's been a lot of picking and choosing which businesses had to shut their doors down while others, like a big box grocery store, you can walk through and touch every single cantaloupe in there, not buy anything and walk out, and nobody's going to say anything to you, right? So there's been so much of this going on, and people just don't understand why one business or one thing has been able to stay open and operate while others have not. You're experiencing that same exact thing when it comes to high school sports, that same picking and choosing mentality, telling you what sports are safe to play and when and what others are not. You've already missed one season of lacrosse, and it sounds like you're in danger of missing a second straight lacrosse season. So if you're a junior, well, you know, one of your juniors, you're going to miss your last 2 years.
Right.
What has that meant for your kids, and are you in danger of missing this season?
You know, I think there is a significant chance that we may not be able to do a second season. And the problem that it's really kind of causing right now is that there's no justifiable reason as to why. Where if you look at some of the, because the state needs to go by classification somehow. It needs to give some rhyme and reason to why they're making decisions. And unfortunately, the state in this instance is really kind of taking the easy way out. They're kind of leaning back on the NFHS, which is this, you know, governing, not even a really a governing body, but it's a body where they kind of, you know, the ones that are control of rules and everything else with sports and how they're actually played. But they openly admitted that they came up with an initial classification list to try and give some order to how maybe teams and sports could come back to play back in early April when all this stuff was really, really unfolding at its height back in the spring. And unfortunately, they never really did take a look at changing some of those or shifting some of those, you know, guidelines based upon research and things that are based around real risk, you know. And I know you guys said you talked about other things that you saw before with like studies in New York and everything else where there's, you know, risk levels that are certainly lower and higher in certain areas, even with certain sports. But I think lacrosse kind of got shoved into this category of being a high risk sport when there's no real more risk to that than I would say any others that are, you know, underneath it. Like it's kind of insane. It's just, you know, just a sport that's played outside, and granted you wear equipment, but it doesn't mean that we're running into each other head first and acting like fools. So I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think it's just a misconception, and it kind of got stuffed in the wrong place at the wrong time.
You told me before the show started, right now there are some winter sports that are being played.
Correct.
What are those?
So right now in high school, the only, I think, couple sports I can't play, I think, are like wrestling, competitive dance and cheerleading. And I think there's one other too, but there, and I think it's just kind of like they went off the idea of sustained contact was part of it. But to be honest, when you look at some of those, even it's strange too, because like wrestling, yeah, granted you're rolling around with another person on a mat, but it is also one other person. It's not like you're rolling around with like 12 other people or 20 other people. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of stuff that people are just kind of dismissing because they feel like they need to sacrifice things to COVID. But I don't know if sports should necessarily be one of those areas. Like you've already seen places like the NFL, college, things like that, where sports have happened. Even like high risk ones that are like football that have happened. And the spread is not profound, right? I mean, it's not one of these super spreading type of events, right? There's mitigating things you can put in place to take away some of what you would call the inherent risks. And I don't know. To me, it's just an easy way out approach that it's not doing anybody any help.
Well, we can refer back to that New York study. The state looked at contract tracing data for 46,000 cases of the coronavirus and the top 30 exposure sources. Out of that list, 1.43% were the restaurants, which we harped on here in segment one. For high school, it was sports were what, 0.46, I think, the actual sports in high school?
Just sports in general. So it was... High school students are 0.46 and sports are 1.04. So
okay, sports 1.
sports is everything in the state of New York. So let's pad the stats as high as we can, and we're still at 1.5%. Now, you know, listen, I think to Brian's point, let me amend. I don't have a horse in this race. So, you know, these are, you know, it's not like my kids are in school because there are no kids. So I think to Brian's point, A, we need to kind of homogenize the decision-making process. Like if we're going to say that you can play X sport, then let us play Y. And I think some of it goes back to parents and to personal decision-making. Like if you don't let me do it, then you've already decided for me. But if you decide that, you know, and I don't know if it's a case of waivers and liabilities, and I'm sure that it has a lot to do with it, and I get it. But I don't understand how that can't, like, you know, because if I'm worried about getting coronavirus in a restaurant, then I can choose not to go to a restaurant. It just, right. That works.
I think, Pat, to your point too, is not every state is actually even reacting the same way. Mm. So like if you went to other states, they actually did things like play football in the fall. They played, you know, nobody really played any sports last spring just because, you know, the world was ending. You know what I mean? So, but this year we have a better understanding of what's happening, but Connecticut is still kind of like, I want to say a dinosaur when it comes to looking at things, forward thinking when it comes to the sports problem. And I can't speak to how it does for other business stuff and how that kind of is, but in the sports world, it's very archaic sticking to this grouping of like sports that are listed as high risk, and they kind of like become this taboo thing. And it's not accurate. It's just, I think it's just for them easy and a way to classify things on risk that's inaccurate.
Brian Whitehead, lacrosse coach at Guilford High School here in Connecticut, also has coached a number of other sports, including football at the school. Brian, what are parents saying to you right now who have a junior or a senior, especially right now, who are missing out on lacrosse? What are they saying to you? And I'd like your opinion on, are they actually saying to you, hey, the risk of the mental health of my student, of my child rather, outweighs whatever risk is going to be on the field of contracting the coronavirus, which we know for 16, 17, 18 year olds, it hasn't been a huge issue.
That overwhelmingly, I would say, is the concern parents bring up, is they're overwhelmingly concerned about the mental and physical health of their kid. Not from a standpoint of like, hey, we have COVID. It's from a standpoint of, hey, I don't really feel like they're going to be able to break out of this depression funk problem that they're having. Where, I mean, you got to think about it. It's for these kids, this was one of their main outlets, right? It was, you know, kind of how
it was for me in high school. Yeah,
it's how they identify themselves. It's how they kind of, you know, form friend groups. It's how they stay active. It's how they stay healthy. It gives them a sense of purpose, right? It's all these things. And you're stripping that away from them at a pretty high cost, you know, for a prolonged and protracted, you know, amount of time, saying like, hey, I don't know when it's going to stop. I don't know when we're going to be able to go back to kind of like this normal thing. And saying that to a kid and saying that to parents, you literally just see them. It's hard because they feel absolutely helpless. You know what I mean? And they don't really kind of know when it's going to stop.
I mean, they're not giving out Letterman jackets for attending Zoom classes. Like that's not a thing. So yeah. So I mean, you're right. And I appreciate it. Like that's a difficult line to follow, right? Like to stay on, like, is it more important than their health? But yeah, I don't know. It's definitely, there is no right or wrong, I think, but like to your point, there's no commonality across all of this. It's just, it seems, you know, we like to go back to do things like look at the science and look at the numbers, but then but first of all, they're not sharing most of the numbers. You know, we had to go to New York to get this contract tracing thing to actually get the data and get the stats. And when you go back and look at the science, and listen, I've been someone who from the beginning has been a huge advocate of, why don't you stay more than 6 feet away from me and make sure you put your mask on? Like, I've had clients affected. I've had friends affected. I think we all have at this point. It's not that we're trying to dismiss the severity of this. This is a serious thing. Yeah. But I think that there are means and measures in place at this point. To your point, it's been a year, you know, because as nearness makes no difference. And some of these kids are going to be dramatically impacted going forward. And I think that's the part that, again, not having a horse in the race, right? I have my wife works in mental health. She talks to younger adults professionally every single day of the week. And she has even said, you can see the effects on the way that they speak, on their physical differences, the way that they're starting to emote, like all of these things are starting to act up. I mean, listen, I'm very pretty and I'm tired of looking at myself on Zoom. I got to tell you, like, I've had enough. Well, like it's over. It's too much.
Whoever wants to verify that statement, go over to facebook.com/oneandcompanyrealestate. And in the comments, you can tell us how pretty PK is. Yeah, listen, I went to a different GHS, not Guilford High, but I went to Griswold High, and football was everything for me, you know, and probably my own fault. There wasn't a lot of teachers that were in my corner back in those days, but my football coaches were. They kept me engaged. My sports coaches certainly helped me get through those 4 years, which are challenging for many kids for many different reasons. Brian, where can people maybe spread the word on getting this NFHS classification change and taking lacrosse out of high risk into a risk category where you can have a season in the spring?
I think that the primary places where we're telling people to really kind of direct some of this is if they go to the Department of Public Health. They have ways to get emails and receive kind of you know, certain things from the public. So I think that we're directing people in that direction, writing them. With the coaches, I know we're contacting the NFHS directly and working with them through our organizations here. All right, but even just anything to get word out to the people that make decisions, I think that's kind of where it needs to happen. And it's the NFHS, it's the Department of Public Health, and it's the governor. Those are the ones that all make the choices.
Are you in school right now? Or are you all fully remote?
Right now, we're fully remote for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Because we did have like a contact tracing issue with, I don't know how many, there wasn't that many positive cases, but there was enough where there was close contact. So they separated everybody. So now we're remote fully for 2 weeks.
Hey, you never know. Our gov likes to copy the New York gov. So maybe we're just going to fully reopen because that's what Cuomo says now. Fully reopen everything. Real Estate Radio, when we come back, we're going to talk a little real estate and we're going to give away some of Martin's money. You're listening to 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. Real Estate Radio, Byron Lacine, One & Company, William Ravis Real Estate. Got Pat Kenny in the house, Barnum Plans. We are also joined by Brian White, the head coach of the lacrosse program at Guilford High School. We're talking about the picking and choosing of the who's going to be a winner, who's going to be a loser, who can play sports, what's safe to play, what's not safe to play. Some kids get to play, some kids miss out, just like our local businesses. Some get to stay open, some have to shut their doors, some have to get stuck with severe restrictions. It has been a heartbreaking year locally, nationally, statewide, for a number of reasons to watch these winners and losers get picked kind of with no rhyme or reason. We're going to touch on some more of that as well as give away some of Martin's money. But before we do that, we've got the One & Company at William Ravis Real Estate Rewind of the Week. If you have a real estate deal that you'd like to promote, whether you're a for sale by owner or a agent yourself, you can call in 860-464-9490. We'd love to promote your deal or open house for this weekend. 860-464-9490. The One & Company Rewind for the last week. We had one new price, 7 under contract, and 5 closings. The new price was 89 Highland Ave in Meriden, now on for $184,000. 89 Highland Ave, Meriden, single family home, on for $184,000. You want to run over to oneandcompany.com and check that out immediately. Under contracts, we had under contracts in Meriden, Wallingford, Madison, Berlin, Old Saybrook, West Hartford, and Haddam. Brian, pretty nice stretch there. Huh? What do you think?
Those are nice places.
Nice places all over the map. All right, closings. We had Westbrook, Guilford, North Stonington, Hamden, and Sterling were the 5 One & Company closings for the week. And open houses this weekend, we've got tomorrow, all our open houses are Sunday. So tomorrow, Sunday, January 17th, 11 to 2, 3-hour open house, 154 Burr Street in East Haven with Meredith Zipper. 11 to 2, 154 Burr Street, East Haven with Meredith. There is a ton of activity on that single family home, and I'm hearing potential offers. You want to run over to that open house, 11 to 2, 154 Burr Street in East Haven with Meredith. Also tomorrow, 12 to 2, 66 High Street, downtown Guilford, award-winning luxury condos looking out over the marsh and Long Island Sound. You can walk to downtown. You can walk to Amarone's. You've been to Amarone's a time or two, right, Brian?
Oh, yeah. You know, nice little restaurant.
You can walk to the Green. You can walk to the train station, Jacobs Beach, all from 66 High Street. We have a few units left in the Leap Building. That's tomorrow, 12 to 2. With Nicole White. You ever heard of that agent, Brian?
Yeah, I think so. Some familiar name.
If you were to list your house, would you use Nicole White?
I don't know. Would that be a good idea?
I think that'd be a great idea.
For my own life and sanity, maybe?
If you plan on moving into the next house with her, I would probably recommend doing that.
If I plan on seeing tomorrow, then yes.
Nicole White at 66 High Street tomorrow from 12 to 2. Also tomorrow, 1 to 3. 607 Fox Hop Yard Road is open in East Haddam, right in Fox Hop Yard. Just follow the signs, pull on the Fox Hop Yard golf course, follow signs over to 607. That is an Ucello development, 607 Fox Hop Yard Road. We have new construction, custom homes starting as low as $599,000. Fox Hop Yard, go over there tomorrow, 1 to 3. That is your one and company rewind and open houses for the weekend. If you have any real estate to promote, you can always chime in till the end of the show at 860-464-9490. Keep that number handy because we're getting ready to give away some of Martin's money courtesy of Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist. Brian, wrapping up the conversation with you, a little bit of the high school sports. This was an eye-opener to me because, you know, I knew that there were some sports, you know, being played, but I didn't realize a sport like lacrosse, which is, you know, in your words, pretty low contact compared to maybe hockey, which is being played this winter. Not that we want to see hockey shut down. We want to see sports being played, especially for the mental health of these student athletes. What are you hearing from parents, that kids are not allowed to play? You know, if this continues, are they going to take their kid out of the school system, go to a different school system? Would they potentially leave the state altogether?
I've heard a couple of people say that. Yeah. Where I think that, you know, they're considering what's best for their family. They're considering what's best for their kids. And I think the problem is too, is then they can look to some, not necessarily neighboring states, but other states and see how they're going about things and how they're actually going and returning to sports. And, you know, if you're looking at your kid and you're watching them wither away and kind of go blank, you know, you kind of want to look and find answers. And if you have the means to do so, then I think, you know, people will uproot and go and try and make their family happy. You know, there's stories of that happening already in Connecticut with kids who left this fall to go to other places to play football because they weren't able to play in Connecticut.
Where, I mean, were they going to neighboring states? Were they going, you know, where any examples?
So the one that we had mentioned briefly here, there was just an example of a kid from New Canaan. Get his name specifically. There was an article that was written on him. But he took a gamble because he found out that obviously football wasn't going to happen in Connecticut. And I think they either moved or they had a home down in Georgia. And then he went down and played a season in Georgia at the high school there where they had that house. And then, you know, he got a Division I offer. I mean, I guess, wow. You know, so to me, it's like where those are examples where they're not the everyday ones, but that's a life-changing event for that kid. You know,
imagine if he just stuck around and, you know, cross his fingers and hoped Connecticut would open up high school football, that D1 offer might have never came.
It definitely would have come.
And your point in the break is going to be far and few D1 football offers that go out. But it's much deeper than that.
Right.
Most of the lessons I learned on the high school football field still carry them with me today. I learned a heck of a lot more from my coaches than I ever did my teachers. Any of my former teachers listening from Griswold High, feel free to call in and debate me on that one, 860-464-9490. It's just the truth. Again, part of that, most of that was probably my own fault, right? I tuned that side of it out. But had I not had my high school football coaches, where would I be today? Probably not sitting here talking to all of my favorite people, the 94 Niners out there in 94 Nine land. So
here, I thought it was us. I thought he was talking about us for a second.
And you guys.
To touch on that too, Byron, I agree with you completely. I think these are kind of like some of the metrics that we don't measure, right? And that you can't really measure, where we're talking about like transmission rates and percentages and everything else. Well, what's the percentage of kids that lost opportunities that they're never going to get again, right? And whether that be experiences with coaches and relationships that you build with other people, those are gone. Those are out the window for some of those people. You know?
As silly as it may sound to an adult, it's like, ah, just get over it. You know, especially like football or something, like, you know, you hear people like that are still, I'm not one of those guys, by the way, that are still like hanging on to my old football days. Like, you know, I don't
chill. Class ring, class 85. No. I scored 27 touchdowns.
Wait, I should not know about the Ansonia story, but that still sticks with me.
So wait, we're not going to talk about how Byron wore his varsity jacket here.
Class ring and his 1988 Camaro. It's cool. It's awesome.
We did beat Ansonia 7-6 in the semis. But anyways, moving on from that. No, I'm not one of those guys that hangs on to it. And you could say, hey, it's just like get over it. But if you're a 16-year-old, I mean, that's a big part of your life. And I would imagine a big part of your mental health. So it's interesting, Brian, that you said that you've had parents actually say, hey, I may not only take my kid out of the school system, I may take my kid and my family completely out of the state. Well, United Van Lines National Migration Study just came out for 2020, and it has revealed where and why Americans moved into and out of. We've got the top 10 list here of the top inbound states for 2020. And we also have the top 10 for outbound states for 2020. Three of the top five outbound states were right here in the Northeast.
Right, I think before we get into too many heavy stats, I would be remiss in not acknowledging your seamless segue into this story.
Silky.
Like, thank you.
Top three in the couple of years we've done this show. Like your setup, like your lob and your spike.
Yeah. I actually went down and looked at your face, Pat, because you were just like trying.
Unbelievable. I looked at yours, Jill. You were smiling too.
I can't not acknowledge it. I have to give credit where credit is due.
I appreciate that, and I do appreciate the admiration. You know, that's why I liked high school football. You know, seeing your name in the old Norwich Bulletin, but yeah, three of the top five states were right here in the Northeast, where we've seen some of the heaviest restrictions. We've got Mark from Windsor on the line wanting to chime in. Mark, how are you? Mark from Windsor, are you with us?
Yes. Hi.
How are you, Mark?
I'm getting more and more frustrated with Connecticut and Ned Lamont and his.
Do you have kids in high school sports, or are you a business owner? Where's your frustration coming from?
Well, I have a girlfriend with young kids in middle school, and one's in middle school, one's in high school, and she's really upset with the sporting situation. And then you know, I earn about 45 a year, and so how we go out is we'll eat at home first and then go to a restaurant and just, you know, have some glass of wine or two or a beer and just you know, and socialize like that. Occasionally, if we decide to have dinner at a restaurant, we plan that. But the point is, though, last week we went to a restaurant, and I just wanted two glasses of wine, and the woman told me I had to buy food. So instead of my bill being just $15 for two glasses of wine, it turned out to be $40 for two glasses of wine and a dinner.
Well, and Mark, people are now going to these restaurants because of that, you know, and I don't think you can, you know, they've made these restrictions so that less people would go. I mean, let's just face it. That's why they did that, because they know Mark from Windsor, he wants to go have his two glasses of wine. You sitting there and having your two glasses of wine doesn't increase or decrease your chances of catching COVID next to the person who's got a Buffalo slider, you know, along with their two glasses of wine. There's no
exactly
science backing that.
Yeah. They're just, you know, Ned Lamont is just killing the economy, and the legislatures are allowing him. They're allowing him and assisting him because they're not standing up and fighting to do their job like we had elected them to a few years ago. This time, they just put themselves in. But I can't see. I didn't vote for any current anyone who was an incumbent at the time in November. I didn't vote for them.
Did you vote?
I did, but I voted for anybody that was new. Anybody that was new, I voted for, and I say give that person a chance. But those people that were already in, they had they've abandoned us.
They've Ned Lamont was new as well, but yeah, I get your point. So
I didn't vote for him either. Now he should not have this. He should not have this executive privilege where he gets to just.
That's the point. We shouldn't have one person picking and choosing who the winners are going to be, picking and choosing if lacrosse can play or can't play. Right. But, you know, in this case, can't play, but hockey can play. Or you can go to a restaurant and have a cheeseburger, but you can't go to a restaurant and support them by having a single beer. I totally, totally agree with you on that point, Mark. Mark, do you want to kick off the we'll give you we got to go here, but I'm going to give you a chance here to win some of Martin's money. If you can name the number one outbound state for 2020, I'll give you a little bit of Martin's money. I'll give you a gift card to Oleo's. They may let you go over there and have a beer. I don't know. Actually, that might be against the rules. We'll give you a gift card so you can get an appetizer with it.
I like it. New Jersey.
Bang. Got it right off the rip. New Jersey came in at number one for top outbound states in 2020, where 70% of their moves we're going out. There's three Northeast states on the top five. We'll give away some more of Martin's money when we come back. Mark, stay on the line. Chris is going to get you hooked up. 860-464-9490. If you can guess the other two Northeast states on the top outbound for 2020, we've got some of Martin's money for you. Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. Real Estate Radio, rapid fire here for the fourth and final segment. Byron Lazine, One and Company, William Ravis Real Estate, Pat Kenny, Barnum Plans. We've got Brian White. He's the head coach of the lacrosse program at Guilford High. We've been talking a lot about the picking and choosing, what sports are safe to play and when. Hockey is being played right now, but lacrosse is in danger of missing its second consecutive season. These are due to the NFHS classifications, which our state, Connecticut, is going off of. Brian shared with us early in the show, there are parents thinking about taking their kids not only out of the school system, but out of the state altogether in a move outbound. We had Mark from Windsor tell us that New Jersey was number one top outbound state for 2020. This is according to a new study just released this last week. There are two more Northeast states on the list. Rounding out the top five along with these other two Northeast states would be Illinois and California. So the top five outbound states for 2020 are all states that have had severe restrictions when it comes to dealing with the COVID-19. We're taking your calls, 860-464-9490. If you can guess the other two Northeast states that were on the top 10 list, top five rather, for top outbound states in 2020, we're going to give you a gift card to help support our local restaurants. We've got some Oleo gift cards that were given away courtesy of Martin's Money Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist. If you're on the Facebook.com/One and Company Real Estate, you can also chime in. We'll give away some gift cards there. First one to get it right in the Facebook chat will get a gift card from Martin McKinney and Service Station Equipment to Oleo's Restaurant. 860-464-9490 is the number. Taking your calls and giving away some restaurant gift cards if you can guess the other two Northeast states on the top five outbound list.
The interesting stats I'm just looking at real quick, because New Jersey is the one we just talked about, is they break out why people move in and move out of the states. Like if you click kind of down the rabbit hole a little bit. And in 2020, outbound of New Jersey, 4.18% of people listed health as the driver as to why they wanted to move out. As opposed to 32.25% for retirement, right? Which speaks to how expensive it is to live in a state like New Jersey. But the part that I thought was interesting is that In 2019, pre-COVID, health was only 4.74. So it's actually lower. Less people are moving, citing health as the reason they're moving, which I think kind of speaks back to, again, I don't call it hype because it is a real thing, but the focus being so heavy on the virus being to blame for all of this when some of it isn't. And this, again, to your point, well, where people buying second homes, not relocating, could, I think, be a factor in this as well.
Well, the one of the biggest reasons, and they cite it here in the study, that people were moving due to COVID-19 was desires to be closer to family, was personal family reasons. And when you factor that in, that can mean a lot. You know, that could tie into, well, my family's out here in a more rural area and there's more freedom to move about. There's less restrictions. And so to me, it kind of gets all grouped in a desired lifestyle change or improvement of quality of life. That was 53% of the people use that as their reason that associated COVID-19 for their move. Lifestyle change or improvement of quality of life. We've got Linda from Mystic, and then we've got Tom from Mystic. Linda, how are you?
Good.
All right, Linda. New Jersey came in at number one for top outbound moves in 2020. 70% of their moves were outbound. There are two more Northeast states in the top five, along with Illinois and California. What is one of the other two Northeast states? If you get that right, you're heading to Olio's.
I was giving you Illinois.
Okay, so Illinois and California on the list, but we've got two other Northeast states along with New Jersey. If you can guess one of the two Northeast states on the top five, you're heading to Olio's restaurant in Groton.
It's not that stressful, I promise, Linda. It's okay. Linda. We don't want you to feel that kind of pressure.
If you get it wrong, listen, Linda, you don't have to give us a gift card. You can go over to giftcardproject.com if you'd like to donate one, but if you get it wrong, you're not required.
We don't have like a blacklist or anything. It's okay.
Texas.
No, Northeast. Northeast.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Northeast.
I'm not going to answer now. I just can't think of it. Thank you.
All right. See you, Linda. Thank you for the call.
Okay. Bye.
I can't believe you stressed her out, Byron.
I had her all.
Texas is northeast of Mexico, so we'll start. That's fine. She's good.
No. All right. We've got Tom from Mystic. Tom,
yeah,
have you studied geography, Tom?
Yeah, it's New York.
New York. All right, New York. New York. Play it, Chris. A little New York.
Can you at least say it like Frank? I mean, if you're going to just shout it into the mic.
All right.
What's happening, Tom, in Mystic today?
You are correct. New York is on the list. They are number two for top outbound moves in 2020. Who would have guessed? New York right after New Jersey for top outbound moves. And Illinois is number three and California is number five. So there's another Northeast state, number four. If somebody wants to guess that, 860-464-9490 is the number. If you can guess what number four is, we've got a gift card for you. Tom, stay on the line. You're heading to Olio's in Groton. You ever been?
Yeah, it's a great place.
It's one of the best. You're heading back there courtesy of Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist. You're welcome.
They're actually northeast of the 99 restaurant. That's right on 184 right there. They're right northeast of that, so it's good.
I wonder if the 99 restaurants are still doing the popcorn on the bars there.
They got to stop doing that, I would imagine, at this point. Right?
You can't even sit at the bar, can you?
Yeah. That could be your meal. I don't know. Olio's, you can sit at the bar. They've got the plexiglass.
That's right, yeah, the dividers, yeah.
Super safe over at Olio's.
Think about that cottage industry for a while, right? You're somebody who makes plexiglass dividers for like the check cash stops, and you sell like six a month, and then all of a sudden the entire country says, I need 16,000 of these. Like in down here in Milford, like the amount of places that we were talking to towards, you know, like October, November, that flat out just couldn't get outdoor space heaters because they were back ordered until like February. I can't imagine that has to be the same way. Those things aren't easy to make. I mean, some of those things are huge and they're heavy and they're expensive as hell.
Yeah. All right. Well, we didn't get to that other Northeast state. We'll get to it on next week's show. It breaks my heart, by the way, that this state made the list. Totally breaks my heart. We'll talk about it next week on Real Estate Radio. If you got some finance needs here during the week, go over see Pat at barnumplans.com. If you got some real estate to sell, now could be the time to cash in here in Connecticut. Go over to oneandcompany.com. And if you're looking to get into real estate, maybe your job was impacted, go over to realestateagentscholarship.com. We're giving away 12 scholarships where you can get your real estate schooling done for free. That's realestateagentscholarship.com. We want to thank Brian White, the head coach of the lacrosse program over at Guilford High School, for joining us and sharing with us some of the concerns that parents, teachers, and coaches are having with the classifications of high school sports. Brian, appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Brian, man. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Spread the word, help your local businesses, help your local sports, and we'll see you here next week on Real Estate Radio, 94.9 News Now, and Stimulating Talk. The first kick took us when I hit the ground. End up like a dog.